I spent the weekend camping in a teepee.
I saw it. There's like beds in there.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It's not a teepee.
There was a fridge right. in the teepee.
What?
Like a full-size fridge.
This is not an authentic teepee.
This teepee had electricity?
This is like white people ripping off a teepee.
Sure, yeah.
Like redneck white people
okay.
ripping off a teepee.
Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
All right, back together in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is always exciting. I mean, it happens most weeks.
We haven't had a break, have we?
Yeah, it happened last week.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
I'm confused.
I'm still excited, okay?
It's been 7 days, and Patrick's right. just like, oh.
He missed us.
I'm so glad we're back together yeah. again.
I am. Yeah, anything exciting besides teepee life?
I don't know. Watch some Olympics. Yeah. Sophia's super excited about Monobob. She thought that was great.
Monobob,
the one-person bobsled. It was a new event this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that the skeleton?
No, because the skeleton, you're on a little tiny sled going head first, and in the bobsled, you're like in a bobsled, but you're just one person.
Did you see the video that Jimmy Fallon made about the doubles luge?
No.
It's most excellent. You should look it
up. Okay, Jimmy Fallon on doubles luge.
Okay, there you go.
Monobob.
Right. Monobob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus, monobob sounds like something you catch as a middle schooler.
The kissing disease. Just,
Jimmy's out for a week with monobob.
Right. Just one bob.
You need multiple bobs. Yeah. That's for sure. Not just one. Yeah. All right. Well, I got some news for us.
What do we got?
The news.
Yeah. There we go. This is a fairly popular news story. I've heard people talking about it outside of this three of us.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a step up from our normal news stories.
Yes. I wonder if I'm going to know this one.
Yeah. Arizona priest.
Nope.
Used one wrong word in baptisms for decades.
This has been very popular.
And they're all invalid now.
Yep. All the baptisms are
invalid. They're invalid.
Now.
Yeah. And so he resigned.
Yep. Yeah, like a couple thousand, I think, wasn't it? Like he'd been a priest for like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, in all of his baptisms, he had said, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And the liturgy prescribes that you say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit."
So
now all of the baptisms that he's ever performed are considered invalid by the Catholic Church, to which I say, come on over to the Lutherans.
Right.
We will take you and your invalid baptisms, right. and you'll be welcome.
We
with
will
open
take
arms.
You. Not I will take, take you.
I will take we you, will and take we will you. Take you. Yeah. Come on over. This whole story just makes me feel like this is why people think church is silly.
Yeah, if you're thinking of like, hey, what are the issues going on right now with the mm-hmm. Catholic Church mm-hmm. that need to be addressed? Some dude said we in a baptism, you
right.
know, probably not high on the priority list, but, you know, that's not the one that's like, oh, that's the squeaky wheel. We got to get the grease on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. I versus we.
So, you know, I've never performed a baptism.
Me either.
Yeah.
I did one just on Sunday.
Great. Yeah. Did you say the right words?
Great. I did.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you need to go back now?
No. I am confident that I said the right words because what I say doesn't actually matter.
I think it matters some.
Well, okay. Yeah. I don't like get up there and be like, hey, everybody.
How are we doing today?
You got to say a couple. Some of those words are key.
I still don't think that the words that even the words that are key, I don't think that's what determines the validity of a baptism.
What would make it invalid?
Yeah, that's the question. Hmm. So if I and we is not the invalidation,
sure.
is there anything that would make it invalid?
I would have to think more about this.
I mean, what if they don't say God, Jesus, Holy Spirit? Those seem like key words.
Here's the thing. We believe that in extraordinary circumstances, anybody can perform a baptism.
Yeah.
And so if the baptism, this is now me speaking without having thought fully through this, so
sure.
you know, possible that I regret this, but if the baptism is done in good faith, by a faithful person, for a faithful person, I don't think the words that are said matter nearly as much as the expression of God's grace in that moment that is happening.
Yeah, I guess like, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think like, but like if you're going to a baptism and they're like, we baptize you in the name of Beelzebub, you'd say like, that's, even if it's
that
good faith,
it
that's not a baptism in the Christian faith.
I think if you're doing a baptism in the Christian faith, you're not going to say, I baptize you in the name of Beelzebub.
Like, Unless it's just like a Freudian slip. Oh, what's a Beelzebub?
I don't think that's a mistake. Like there are lots of things you might get wrong if you're doing a baptism in an emergency situation. I don't think that's the mistake you're going to make.
Emergency baptism. Whoa, you just made a face. Like,
well, so typically emergency baptism is because there's a child who's been born who's not going to survive.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
That's
so maybe we, yeah,
okay.
maybe we don't crack the joke about that one. Yeah.
On.
You know, it could be airplane going down.
Could be.
Cruise ship going down.
There are lots of circumstances where it could take place. That is the one that actually occurs right. most often.
Okay. Yeah. My mistake. I was just thinking, I don't know what circumstance that's like super dire. I would be like, let me get baptized real right. quick. You know, like.
Okay. But I got you.
We'll move on from that.
I dig it.
Because yep. that was insensitive of me.
Unintentionally so. Right. And you've Oops. Apologized for yes. it. So we're all good.
Okay. So the, you know, the Catholic Church is saying, like, the situation may seem legalistic. May.
Does.
But yeah. the words, materials, and actions are crucial aspects of every sacrament, and changing any of them makes them invalid. For example, if a priest uses milk instead of wine during the consecration of the Eucharist or Holy Communion, the sacrament is not valid. The milk would not become the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you.
Could we use milk? Does milk become the blood of Christ?
Could we use milk at communion?
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use milk because I think that the practice of using a fruit of the vine, right, whether that's mm-hmm. grape juice or a wine from grapes, right, I think that that is more representative of the meal that we are trying to remember. But again, I'll go back to extraordinary circumstances. If you are, you know, if you're on a desert island and you're trying to
have all that milk.
Okay, milk seems like an odd choice, but if you don't have wine, let's assume sure. you don't have wine, uh-huh. right? I think that God's grace in that meal, God's presence in that meal is beyond our understanding and certainly beyond the physical limitations of wine.
Okay.
I don't think that God is like, oh, sorry, you use milk. I don't know what to do. I can't turn right. that into, I can only turn wine into body. You know, I don't know what to do with this milk stuff. I don't think that's what God is saying either, so.
That's a good impression.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's how God is.
Spot on for God.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So again, any situation.
Most of these things go down in the list of, this is why I'm not Catholic. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we talked about baptism. Any yeah. words you got to make sure you say, you know, we answer that one. So any substitutions here for Holy Communion that you're like, nah, it's probably too far at that moment.
I mean, if you're doing all these things as like a regular practice, then yeah, there are lots of things where I'd say like, I don't think you're taking this
sure.
in the right attitude, but I don't know that I can say that invalidates God's ability to be present in that meal.
Uh-huh.
Right. Like I've heard of like youth groups being like, oh, well here's pizza and soda and we're going to talk about communion using that and like celebrate communion. Like, I don't think that's appropriate because I don't think that's the best way to celebrate communion or to have that practice. Mm. I can't say that God's grace wasn't also present in that. Like, I'm not big enough to say that.
Okay.
I'm egotistical enough to think it, but I'm not big enough to say
we're
it.
We're not going to say it out loud. Right.
Sure. Okay. Elise, any thoughts?
On communion?
Yeah.
On baptism. What is appropriate for
Is
communion?
Your baptism valid?
Now I'm worried about it.
Yeah, you better go back
well,
and look.
I was an infant, so that already helps. For a lot of people, that, you know, rules it out.
But. Yeah, but for us, you're good. That's
yeah. So I don't know.
I
wasn't listening.
I was told my baptism wasn't valid. So.
You were told your baptism wasn't valid?
Yeah.
By who?
Pentecostal church.
Oh, well, sure.
Oh, I was visiting. You were,
I was visiting.
You were a baby?
I was not even a baby. I was in third grade. Yeah. So, but he told that... We were visiting in college. We had to go like to different churches and experience mm-hmm. worship. Mm-hmm. And the preacher did look at us from the Lutheran school and say, "Your baptism is invalid if you were baptized as a baby and wow. not in full immersion."
Wow,
got to hit both those things.
Okay,
yeah. I was like, they told me that in college, but
yeah,
that had like no effect on me whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get told that my baptism was invalid, but I got told that I had to be rebaptized. To be a part of this church because that's how they made sure that my baptism counted.
So nice, we do it twice.
What? I don't think that's how this works.
Sure.
So.
All right, I got one more for you here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
More Catholic Church stuff?
Not Catholic Church stuff.
More theology stuff?
No.
We could do a whole episode on, you know, theology of sacraments.
People want the news to be funny.
We've done episodes on sacraments before.
Oh, we should do it again.
Communion isn't funny.
And
if you make
hilarious.
Jokes, they're probably insensitive.
No, that was
we
baptism.
Learned that today.
That was baptism.
It's all the same.
Coca-Cola introduces a first of its kind flavor.
Oh no. These are always they make me so nervous.
You want to guess? Yeah.
Ranch.
Not ranch. Elise.
Oh, shoot, bacon?
Not bacon. Mm. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you. I could give
bacon.
You a lot of guesses. You're not gonna guess.
Dog food.
No. Because it's not a flavor.
Oh.
Flavorless.
Lavender.
Coke.
Water.
Here it is. Coca-Cola Starlight. Which is inspired by space.
What?
We're really reaching.
What does space taste like?
A vacuum.
That is a good question.
What do they describe space
what
as tasting
does
like?
Space taste like? Okay. They say it has notes reminiscent of stargazing around a campfire.
Oh, boy.
As well as a cooling sensation that evokes the feeling of a cold journey to space.
This sounds like what's written on the Vicks VapoRub.
What brand of Vicks VapoRub were you buying?
It sounds like it's one of two things based on some testers. Kind of raspberry-y.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Or kind of s'mores-y.
Ooh.
Oh, s'mores. I mean, not in a soda. That sounds disgusting. But
I could go with raspberries on a s'more. That sounds tasty.
Mm-hmm. How about in a Coke?
But is it space?
Yeah.
Does it say space?
Yeah. According to Google, space tastes like raspberries.
Google says that?
Yeah.
So if you Google what does space taste like, they say it tastes like raspberries?
Uh-huh. Here's a 2009 Guardian article that says astronauts
British, it's already invalid.
Think the galaxy may taste like raspberries and smell like rum.
Smell like rum?
That's just because the astronauts were drunk when they did that study.
Right. Who are we polling?
Also, good in Coke. Maybe put them both in there. So, yeah, there you go. So let me ask you. You use Coke. For Starlight Coke is communion. Two out there.
I will not be two out there. I will not be using Starlight Coke except in an extraordinary circumstance.
I'll try it.
I mean, I'll drink it. I'm not going to use it for communion. That's
I can get down with the Cherry Coke Zero.
Sure, but not for communion. I didn't say I wouldn't try it. I just said I wouldn't use it. For communion.
How can our listeners buy this?
Oh yeah. When can we? Is this one of those things where like you have to win a contest to earn a can?
Yeah.
Of it?
Yeah.
Those are stupid.
I don't know. It's probably in this article somewhere.
It's useful. Uh huh.
You know, it's a long article.
Oh. How long could this article be? They've already described the flavor of the Coke. What else is
there's
there
a lot
about?
Going on here? Okay. I don't see when
they're talking about their marketing strategy.
Yeah. So I don't know when it's coming out or where you could buy it, but if you can get a hold of a Starlight Coke, let us know.
Is it Starlight Coke or is it Coke Starlight?
I think it's Coca-Cola Starlight.
Coca-Cola Starlight.
Mm. Yeah, it comes in regular and zero and versions.
Starlight, Starbright, won't you bring me Coke tonight?
Yeah, and it does have a reddish hue. So
the drink does?
The drink does.
Why red?
Well, raspberry.
Or raspberry.
Oh. That's
if right. It's raspberry. That's right. Also could be s'mores.
The universe tastes like raspberries.
Also blood.
Yeah.
The universe tastes like blood.
And raspberries.
I've never been to space, but you know, look, most space movies do involve somebody dying up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Usually in very gruesome and awful ways by an alien. So, yep.
Aliens, the worst.
All right, let's get to our main story.
Are you here to tell me that our main story wasn't Coca-Cola Starlight?
I am here to say that. That's from Christiana Day, our friends.
Our neighbors.
Yeah.
Yes.
CT.
You know, not as good of friends as relevant, but still friends.
So how would we put Christiana Today on our friend scale? Like if relevant is the BFF.
Relevant in our MySpace would obviously be position one.
Okay. All right.
I think Christiana Today is in our top eight.
Sure.
But
because we only have eight. So.
Right.
Well, that's our MySpace side. You got a top eight. I don't know if you remember MySpace.
I don't really remember MySpace. I mean, I know that MySpace existed, but yeah. I came on with Facebook. I came of age with Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how would you describe our relationship with these individuals here?
That's good. So I would say that we're probably in a relationship with relevant and then maybe a complicated relationship.
Okay.
Today.
That's how. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think
we're in
that's
an open relationship.
Yeah.
We're doing a little.
That's how Facebook did it. It's like, you know, what's your relationship with this person? I'm in a relationship.
It's complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's complicated. Oh, man. I don't know if you remember this, but like when I was in college, that was the marker.
She's back on the market.
Yeah, like whether or not someone was in a relationship on Facebook, it didn't matter until they were in a relationship on Facebook. And then when it was complicated,
Facebook,
right. What happened?
Yeah. And also, like, why would you say that on Facebook?
People did, though.
Because that's the way the world worked, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just want everybody to know, and my partner are struggling.
I don't think it was that. It was.
I need my aunt to know that information.
Okay, well, one, back then, your aunt wasn't on Facebook. And two, I don't think it was that you were struggling. I think the it's complicated meant that you, like, didn't know how you felt for each other. And, like, you weren't really together, but you also, like...
You didn't want to tell the world you
were
single.
If you went from in a relationship to it's complicated, there's a struggle.
Oh, yeah. If that direction, but that rarely was the direction. Usually it was the other direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So relevant. We definitely
also not our main story.
relevant to Beyond Sunday. Definitely. We each have half of a best friend's necklace. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. Probably a locket with a picture of the other in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Christianity Today, we made a friendship bracelet for them at church camp last year. Right. Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think, our level of friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. Though neither of these organizations know that we exist. So this might be more stalkerish than you realize than it is.
Well, I sent them half of a best friend's necklace. So,
so they've got it.
They better be proudly displaying that. With a picture of the three of us.
Right, exactly. We're your besties. Right. Anyway.
All right.
What do we got from Christianity Today?
So I'm going to say, this article is very long. It was 14 pages long.
So we're going to take this from Christianity Today and Christianity Tomorrow.
We might. Hey-o. Birth behind bars. Christians fight cruel, outdated prison policies. Mm. So this is an article all about what happens to female prisoners who are pregnant in prison. What happens now?
Yeah.
And the organizations that are out there to give them support for birth and beyond for those things.
Did you all watch Orange is the New Black?
A little bit, yeah. I think I saw the first season.
They did. I mean, one of the storylines was about a woman who was pregnant. Yeah. And like, there's a couple of different times when it happened. But yeah, they talked about this in that show. That particular storyline was very powerful.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, I've reading this article, I cried several times.
Sure.
So,
oh, man.
Yeah. A couple times in disgust and like just anger, and a couple times in like hope and things like that.
Do you
like
often
that.
Cry in disgust? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Well, I'm empathizing with the
woman
who's in the situation.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this article will start with kind of like a bunch of stories about like kind of like some pretty awful practices that women have experienced by giving birth in prison.
Okay.
I've never given birth. I've also never been to prison.
0 for 2.
0 for 2.
All right.
But I've been present at a birth. It sounds awful.
I can confirm the whole process is horrible.
Yeah.
The whole nine months.
The whole nine what?
Whole 9 months.
I thought you said the whole 9 yards. I was like,
I mean, obviously, what are we talking about? There's beauty and majesty in birth, but it is a tough physical and emotional and experience.
There's nothing beautiful about it. Well, you know, the aftermath is
new
like,
life. We did that.
New life is good.
Yeah.
You're too tired to enjoy it.
All right.
The husband's not too tired to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we start with a woman here, Miss Garrison, whose baby boy named William is held him for an hour, and then she was forced to relinquish him to his father's family. She was in prison, and never saw him again.
Yep,
that's really hard. And I can imagine for both parties, baby and mom, in that situation, there are significant issues that happen, and the article will address that further. So be warned, this could be a tough, you know, article to kind of read through. I highly recommend reading through this. I think it's a lot of neat things to hear about how Christians are fighting for those who are truly least of these for prisoners. But we're going to talk a little bit about kind of some of the things that are in this article, and also how we as Christians should respond to the prison population.
All right.
Okay. All right, in Oklahoma, this is where our central story of Ashley Garrison takes place. Roughly 151 out of every 100,000 women are behind bars.
151 out of every 100,000 in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma.
Wow, that seems like
that
a lot.
That feels high, yeah.
It's twice the national average.
Oh,
so.
Oklahoma? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, and see, this is, again, it's the question, is Oklahoma just more, or are Oklahomans more prone to criminal behavior? Or alternatively, is something going on that lands more Oklahomans in the judicial system?
Yeah. In 2019, our study says there were 231,000 women and girls behind bars in the United States, which is a 775% increase since 1980.
So over 30 years, basically.
Over 30 years.
Okay.
40 years.
I thought you said 2013.
2019.
Oh, I heard 2013. Yeah. Okay.
Most are serving time for nonviolent convictions. Drug charges or theft.
Yeah.
And more than 60% of these women were parents to children under 18 at the time of sentencing. So as we have more and more people going to prison, especially for nonviolent crimes, we have more and more mothers in prison, and more and more kids with a parent in prison, and more women giving birth in prison. So, I mean, these are all things happening all at once. And so Christianity Today is kind of going to say, like, is, you know, going to ask the question, is this an issue? And two, how are Christians focusing it on helping? So the first issue is most prison facilities are largely built around incarcerated men.
So they're not specifically made for women.
Or the model is based on how do we deal with men as offenders, and then we just like cut and paste women into kind of the same situations or the same scenarios. So what do you think? Is that a problem?
I mean, I think it's a problem from a standpoint of building effective prison systems, but I don't know. I don't see that as a particular faith issue, but I'd have to know more about it, I guess. Like, I don't think it's good. But I can't, like, I don't know. I can't point to something about that in particular.
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably is a breeding ground for all kinds of human rights issues, right? Especially when it's prisoners you're talking about, because you're not going to hear about that, right? They don't really have a voice, so there's not going to be somebody who's going to kick up a stink on behalf of prisoners. So there's all kinds of stuff, I'm sure, that goes on there. So that, I think, makes it then a faith issue, this opportunity for there to be this big disparity in rights.
And I think that that idea of like nobody was going to kick up a stink for the prisoners. We don't really have national or local politicians really having a major part of their campaign of like, we need to take care of our prisoners. Because we in America definitely have a judicial system that's built on punishment. On the idea of like, you committed a crime, now you must be punished for those things. And so like, if the idea is like, we're taking care of these people who should be punished, why? Right? Like, why should we take care of the bad apples in society? Sometimes the thinking going alongside of how we should approach prisoners. And this is left and right, Christian, non-Christian. I think that we easily can fall into these traps.
I think that's part of the issue with this entire conversation for me, is that we're trying to apply faith principles to something that really wasn't designed with faith principles in mind. Right. And so the American judicial system was not designed to be, you know, modeled after like how Jesus would treat prisoners or how the early church would have treated prisoners. Right. That was, that was not what they had in mind. And so we're, you know, it's not that it's bad work, but it's really difficult to try to take Christian principles and apply it to a, you know, mega system, that has no interest in Christian principles.
So it's really tough to like now come in, especially these Christian organizations, and be like, here are some issues that we should focus in on, when in reality, in many ways, it should be like, this whole system should be torn down and built back up again. Because it is so far removed from what kind of our Christian ideals for what care for the prisoners should look like. And that's hard to say. I mean, again, it's hard to say because these are people sometimes we're like, but they're bad. They're the criminals. And we only have so many resources at our disposal. What would we rather? Where is the state government going to send its money? Public schools? Prisons? You know, like prisons are going to be at the bottom of the list. It's pretty easy to acknowledge that. So that makes things tough, difficult. Now we're going to transition the article, transition to like, hey, let's highlight some of these people, some Christians out there doing the work of Jesus for those things. So what they call remembering those in prisons. So as the number of women in prison has skyrocketed, Christians and Christian ministry around the country are working to protect vulnerable women and babies. From a bird's eye view, this modest cohort of ministry is working all angles of the issue. Legislative challenges to care the babies born inside prisons. And we can see that's a lot, right? There's the immediate aftermath of what happens when a woman gives birth in prison. The immediate, like, how is that woman treated? How is that baby treated? And also the legislative issues of, like, what do we do to prevent misconduct or things like that? One of the things we have is nobody – we do not have a national standard of how a birth in prison is supposed to look. So one of this is an organization that Lord of Life has been involved in, and that's Angel Tree.
Yeah. I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that they did that.
Yeah. Angel Tree program aims to care for children of incarcerated parents by keeping them connected to their parents and ideally a local church.
Okay. So we've connected with Angel Tree because they work with kids who are aging out of foster care in our area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or at least that's what we're working with them most directly. And so we work with kids who have turned 18 and are, you know, being housed or whatever, you know, as they're going to school, as they're finishing up their degree or getting a job. And, you know, we're kind of helping Angel Tree help them to build the skills that they need to be successful in society. But I had no idea that Angel Tree also did this work.
Yeah.
I'm guessing nationally. Yeah.
Yeah. And Angel Tree also, I remember maybe at my other church that I used to work at, we would take donations for Christmas gifts mm-hmm. given by Angel Tree to children in foster care or children of incarcerated parents.
Sure.
Yeah.
So other ministries are going to focus on the babies who are born to incarcerated women. So My Village Ministries in Columbus, Ohio.
Hmm. Shout out to Ohio.
There you go. Offer short-term child care for families in crisis, including incarcerated parents. And then they have a long section here about like some Mennonites who take this very seriously and have mm-hmm. people come in and volunteer a year of their time to be a nanny to kids in prison with the idea of either we're going to try to reunite mom and baby once mom is released or capable, or be a system to ship them into the foster care system. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's a really, really powerful thing of like these sometimes a lot of oftentimes young women who are mm-hmm. volunteering a year of their time in their 20s to go mm-hmm. just nanny a kid or two kids for a whole year.
Where are they going to do that?
So they're based in Colorado.
But are they like, are they going to the prison to be a nanny for them?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
How does that work?
Yeah,
like logistically.
Yeah, that's something I think you'd have a look at. You know, there's only so much information in one article.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Christians who advocate for those in prison see their work as a testimony to the unshakable worth people have, no matter their rap sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is important because this is where I think we have to ask ourselves, like, why as Christians does this matter? Jesus highlights us in the one of his parables mm-hmm. when he kind of tells his followers. When you were serving the least of these, you were serving me.
Yep.
In the list of things you should be doing, or you actually were doing, mm-hmm. it's visiting the sick, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and visiting those in prison.
Mm.
It's like, and it's a very real like.
Dang, it's like right there.
And it's kind of like this, like, and you were doing these things.
Right.
And
it's
so
it's hard to avoid when it's not like an implication. It's like, right. And this one, like, oh.
Yeah, shoot.
And then he flips it and says, when you're not doing those things, including not visiting those in prison,
see,
you're mm-hmm.
specific
not amongst the least of these.
Are we supposed to be paying attention to mm-hmm. that yeah. one?
And I think this is really tough because I'll be honest. I've never visited anybody in prison.
Yeah.
So taking Jesus seriously and saying, if Jesus truly is present with the least of these, maybe I need to be more cognizant of exploring ways to serve the least of these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that includes prisoners.
Yeah.
And maybe should motivate in some ways to say definitely includes prisoners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think reframing it can be helpful as well, right? Because I think in our minds we have this divide between people outside of prison and people in prison.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
reality, there's not that much that separates you or I from somebody who's incarcerated, right? It's at the most, it's probably one or two bad choices. Maybe not even that. Maybe it's just opportunity and circumstances.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think if you take away some of that separation and stigma, then it's easier to say, okay, I need to care about this, you know, not just that I should care about this, but I need to care about this because these are people just like me. It could be you. Mm-hmm. It could be me.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, I think that's when we go back to the biblical foundation of this, right? That, you know, the story of Genesis isn't that some people are created with the image of God and other mm-hmm. people are not. Right.
Yeah.
You know, all of humanity is created in the image of God. And so there, you know, whether you're in prison or not in prison or in prison rightfully or wrongfully mm-hmm. or whatever, right? All of us are created as children of God and deserve to be treated as such. Now, that doesn't mean that choices don't have consequences, right? Some people should be in prison for a period of time, right? That's
right.
A reasonable thing to say that there are consequences for your actions in this mm-hmm. in this life. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that those consequences need to be inhumane or deny your mm-hmm. humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Which I guess is actually two ways of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But
sure.
Sorry.
No, yeah. No, I think that's there. Especially when we're looking at the majority of especially female prisoners we're talking about here, are there for nonviolent crimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we can't say like they're a risk to their neighbors or community in a violent way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually theft, drug abuse. You know, yeah. those are kind of the things. And so I know one of the things we start after asking is, well, what do we do with those who are, have addiction issues? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it something that should be treated or something that should be punished?
Yeah.
And America has typically chosen the route of punishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that's how we led to a 775% increase in the mm-hmm. amount of prisoners in the United States sure. since 1980.
And no decrease in drug use.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. And exactly the same places where we are.
Yeah. If not worse as far as drug use. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have another story about giving birth in prison. Mm. By Deanna Sanchez here, who was convicted at 8 months pregnant for drug use. 2 weeks later, she went into labor and delivered her baby alone on her cell bench. Prison officials could watch through a security camera. Nurses slid an absorbent pad under Sanchez's cell door as she gave birth without assistance. A Denver firefighter had to cut the umbilical cord when responders arrived because the prison did not have the equipment. Yikes,
that's
right?
Rough.
That is horrible. And even if you're like, I hate drug use, I find it, you know, abhorrent.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This.
I'm not like a fan of drug use.
Right. Beyond
this
the
should
pale.
Never be an outcome yeah. of yeah. that. Yeah.
After a lawsuit, reasonable.
Yeah.
They did not technically violated protocol.
Excellent.
Because there was no protocol.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there was no list of things you should do if this woman gives birth while you're in prison. And so since they didn't have a list of check marks, well, I guess, you know,
nothing off you the
did.
Hook,
we
did, huh?
We didn't not do it.
Right.
Yeah. And they ultimately did pay Ms. Sanchez a settlement and updated its policy to require patients to require inmates to be sent to the hospital while in labor. So
created a policy.
So right. at least yeah. good things came from this. But what we're seeing right. is right. like this is this is 2022, right? Yeah. We're mm-hmm. we're not in the Wild West figuring things out. We right. don't need to be told women give birth. Like we get it. Right. Yeah.
We should understand that process by now.
And we should understand it's painful, it's hard, it's bloody, it's a rough experience for the mom. And doing that alone in a cold prison cell is wrong. Mm. You know, like we should get there. Like
yeah.
you know, this is not newsflash. That is wrong. And so we don't need to wait until like oh, well, it happened. What do we do now? I mean, like, there should be a little proactivity here mm-hmm. from some of our states to say, what are we doing differently? So some other legal acts that they're taking. We talked about kind of the direct ministries that are working those things. There are also some legal actions that Christians are kind of focusing in on. One is going to be making sure pregnant women giving birth are not shackled. And President Donald Trump signed the First Step Act, which prison fellowship had lobbied in its favor. So this mandates that federal prisons provide feminine hygiene products and also requires federal government to track and report pregnancy outcomes in federal prisons and prohibits the handcuffing of pregnant women, though there are exceptions if law enforcement officials believe shackling is necessary for safety reasons. But at least here we're getting into this like idea of like a prison is not its own autonomous cell. It mm-hmm. has to report yeah. what's going on. And the federal government has rights to say like what is happening to our female pregnant population.
In federal mm-hmm. prisons.
In federal prisons.
Yeah, so that does not count any of the state held or other local prisons.
Just, that's yeah. correct. Lastly, the article is going to give a greater highlight to those Mennonites that I mentioned before. New Horizons.
Okay.
The Mennonite nannies. So they... That's what they're called, man.
That's why not supposed to be funny. That's what it is.
Yeah. Mennonite nannies. Yeah. It's a lot of Mennonite.
It sounds like a intramural league dodgeball team or something. The Mennonite nannies coming at you.
Sure. So they're working in Colorado through the Denver Women's Correctional Facility.
Okay.
And so oftentimes women there who are pregnant giving birth, there's a thing throughout the prison community saying like you got to go talk to the Mennonite. Mm-hmm. Gotta go meet the nannies.
Sure.
And so they're doing the work of bringing in people to care for and nanny children while mom is in prison with the intention to reunite them. Mm. If that's not feasibly possible, then it's to get them through into foster care or adoption. Mm-hmm. So, but it's kind of short-term nannying, things like that, and to kind of make sure that these coverages are taken care of. And what's neat is working with the prison system, the Mennonites, in the light of COVID, They're actually not needed because the Colorado prison system has temporarily halted the sentencing of pregnant women to prison. So this is an awesome thing, right? Like, so we're seeing like Christians in action, even in light of a, you know, global pandemic, through their somewhat influence, we're getting women better care while they're sitting out there, you know, their sentencing or their payback to society, or however you want to think about this. They're still human beings, and the Mennonites are helping care for them in the midst of that.
Yeah. I think the work the Mennonites is doing sounds very interesting and really like a very faith-filled response, which I really value and appreciate. I'm really curious to know more about the Denver or the Colorado decision to not sentence pregnant women. I'm not really clear on that. But I really value the work that the Mennonites sound like they're doing.
Yeah,
it sounds like a good thing to me, you know, first blush, especially if you're saying that a huge percentage of these women are nonviolent offenders anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, the question has always been, is sentencing really the answer to these crimes?
Anyway? Sure.
You know, like what? I know we've taken that approach.
I'm just saying with no other information. That's right. The part that gives me like, huh?
But question mark. Yeah, what are we doing?
One of the gentlemen involved in the Mennonite Nannies program says he remembers this one time where they took 11 children at once to go see their mothers. Like, so he had a baby, his wife had a baby, and they had 9 nannies with them, all with children, walking into the prison system to go see moms, and, you know, having guards and people ask, like, are all these your kids? Like, no.
That's not how this works.
Yeah. But I think that's really...
That's a stereotype.
I think it's really beautiful, like, faith in action because of our faith, because we see the value of those who are, Jesus would call the least of these, we are going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And I think that matters. Mm-hmm. So I think this is, again, I cried multiple times reading this, and I think I highly recommend checking it out on Christianity Today.
All right.
I think it's really, really beautiful and really, really tough, but it's also really important, I think, to remind us that these things are happening. I live in a very privileged life where I do not have to come face to face with the prison system unless I choose to in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so choosing to engage in this podcast or to read this article, I think is a powerful, powerful thing to do.
Well, we'll be sure to post the link to the article in our posting. So you can find that on our website, or you can find that potentially in the posting on your favorite podcast service, wherever you're listening to us.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts?
Well, we should care for people.
Wow, bold. How could you say something so bold, so brave?
I know. Right? I should get more credit for that than
All right.
Solid ending, guys. This is great.
It's a heavy one.
If you like this podcast, it feels weird being like joyful as I like you set us up. If you like this podcast or any of our other episodes, you can find that all at beyondsundaypodcast.com, where we will be linking to the full article from Christianity Today, from our friendship bracelet friends, Christianity Today. You can, of course, leave us a rating or a review, send us an email, let us know if you think your baptism is invalid, or if you were one of the people whose baptism was declared invalid, come on over. We will be glad to welcome you into the Lutheran faith as well, or if you just have questions about why Patrick is a heretic and wants to have communion with milk, that's fine too. You can send those questions to us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
I didn't say I wanted to. I'm the one who's saying you can't.
Whatever, heretic.
The pizza sounds pretty good to me. I'm gonna be real. Sure.
Come get a slice.
Yeah.
A slice of Jesus.
No, I'm just saying I wouldn't sign it.
The pepperoni of Christ given for you. Yeah. I guess as long as you've got the bread on there. There's nothing that says you can't have toppings on top of the bread.
I don't think he was overly specific.
It could be at least be like a cheesy bread or a garlic bread.
Yeah, flat bread would be pretty authentic. Yeah. It probably was a flat bread or maybe a barley loaf.
So like a pita?
A cheesy pita.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Fire guy.
Yeah. Or a tortilla, like a little taco.
Sure, you could use a tortilla.
We should do breakfast tacos on church on Sunday.
For communion?
Yeah, it's a tortilla.
Okay. This needs to end.
Corner flour, though. Is that the Jesus tortilla?
Yeah.
I think it's flour.
Probably flour.
Yeah. It's Jesus is the corner tortilla.
That's true.